listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Wednesday, May 25th, 2016, and it's week 1 of the Fantasy Movie League summer season. I'm Pete Johnson, a Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm joined by Patrick Reardon, the box office guy. And Patrick, has it really been a year already?
Time flies. It seems like just yesterday I was trying to figure out combinations of Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, and Poltergeist. And yeah, it's been an entire year. It's pretty amazing.
Well, now, in fairness, for those grizzled veterans, I didn't join until week 6. So yes, there's a big collection of you out there who have more experience than I do. Just wanted to recognize.
Yeah, I think you've more than made up for it. Like, you know, like that goes without saying.
Well, I go with volume instead of duration, I think, is where I catch up with folks. So we got a big podcast.
If you're going by volume, you might be the most experienced player of them all.
I might be. Big cop podcast this week. We're heading into Memorial Day weekend, which traditionally kicks off the summer movie season. And for the first time on this podcast, we have not one, but we have 2 guest interviews that we did this week. But before we get to that, let's talk about how the spring season wrapped
up. We're really becoming a real show.
I know. It feels more real every week. So week 12. So let's talk about the week first, and we'll talk about the standings overall. So best performers were Angry Birds, and as I said in the notes that we exchanged before the podcast, I completely blame you for this.
Getting the blame?
Well, because, I don't know, you seem like you figured this out. You said that we haven't really seen a movie like this because it's an app, because it's a mobile game, and because of all the downloads of the mobile game, and I completely didn't give that enough the credibility that it deserved. I way gave too much credit to Rated R sequel, and you tried to warn me, and it wasn't until I saw the Thursday night numbers reported on Friday that I got scared off. So
that just, it kind of vindicated everything that I was thinking about, and it was just the computer animated movies in mid to late May. They never do less than what Angry Birds ended up doing, so it just kind of worked out. And like, again, I didn't think Neighbors was going to like break the bank and do what the previous one did, but like the low 20s was way lower than I was expecting.
Well, see, this is why my strategy relies so much on the pros, is because if I was to do this completely on my own, I'm so completely bad at it. But, you know, it is what it
is.
That's
why the pros are there. But I know. You got to go with like data and your gut.
Well, the data says that they're wrong somewhere around 25% of the time, and Neighbors, they were certainly wrong on, as it underperformed expectations quite significantly. But that was foreseeable for the reasons that you stated last week, and that's really kind of the thing to go for in the game is use the pros as your baseline, and where do you think they're going to be wrong, and go for what you think, you know, you got your gut going for you that's better than what they're saying with their data.
That's why you play the game.
So perfect cinema last week was Angry Birds times 2, and pretty much anybody that played 2 screens of Angry Birds did pretty well. But if you also played 4 screens of The Darkness, a screen of The Huntsman, and The Boss, 22 people got perfect cinema for that last week. So pretty small sample size there.
Not a lot. Lots of hedging. And again, I thought The Darkness, I gave it a look, but horror movies usually have such a steep drop in that second week. Like, I didn't have high expectations for it. It did a little better than I thought.
Yeah, I was surprised by that as well. So congrats if you nailed that. Now, it was the end of the spring season. And if you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend reading Phil Funflick's article this week that put a ribbon on the spring season. He did a really good job at talking about all the different things that happened during the spring season. I'll recap a couple of those here. So our overall winner ended up being Jay Mangan, 122, closed out the year in first place, had 5 perfect cinemas along the way. So congrats.
That's very impressive. I think I had 1, so 5 is pretty remarkable.
Now, what's just as impressive to me is second half winner Molly Pruitt got 4 perfect cinemas in the final 6 weeks. Man, what are the odds of that?
You're the data man. Like, you're going to tell me you probably have the number in front of you.
I actually didn't figure that out ahead of time. It was a figure of speech that I realized after I said it, that you might actually call me on it. So,
well, your odds are not great of doing that. So
no,
congratulations.
And
congratulations to Molly Pruitt.
And Phil also pointed out that there were 4 different people that managed to get 6 perfect cinemas throughout the spring seasons. So that was Army of Harkness, Goofy Plex, Beowulf, John Woods, Cineplex, and Team, I think it's Discoverty Channel. It was It was misspelled, and Microsoft Word tried to correct it for me when I put it in my notes. But still,
Cineplex, this isn't the game getting easier. This is just people becoming better players, which is great.
And the thing is, right, just because you got six perfect doesn't mean that you necessarily could win, right? It's you got to get consistent from week to week, which the other thing that Phil had in his article was the development team ran him that report that showed that perfect cinema percentage. And out of all the folks that have played, the top three overall, so for the full year of perfect cinema percentage, Maze's Movie Minute is at the top of that with a PC percentage of 921. So that's what percentage of the PC, like how close to the PC did you get on average per week for each week that you've played. So you don't get bonus points for having played longer. You get bonus points for getting higher consistently week to week scores. Second place in that list is our own M37, who of course writes weekly data article, and BS White 1970 was third on that list, who writes that weekly chatter post about what movies to avoid each week, which is sometimes, as I found out last week, almost the hard way, is just as important as playing the right ones as not playing the wrong ones.
100%. And yeah, like if you just look, I'm looking at this list right now, like a lot of familiar. It's basically the chatter all-stars is the list.
It is, absolutely. Now let's get to our first interview here. So the iPhone app came out last week, and I sat down with Slytrunk Ben, who was the developer of the iPhone app, and he took me behind the scenes as to what that process was like and what the feedback was and what some of the cool features are. So let's hear what Ben had to say about that. So the mobile app came out last week, and I'm very pleased to be joined by the developer of said mobile app. You know him on the forums as Slytrunk Ben. Ben, thanks for joining the program today.
Thanks for having me.
So your player ID gives away that you've been involved here with Fantasy Movie League for quite some time. Because your player ID is 4.
Yep. I get early access to these things. It's a perk of the job.
I know. So I'm so jealous about this. So tell us, the iPhone app is the reason we have you on. It's been a little bit in development for a while. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what that process was like? What kind of feedback have you gotten so far? What's your favorite feature? What can you tell us about that whole process?
Yeah, so we started back in February, right around February 1st, and I spent the very first month kind of taking the existing website and the existing audience and, you know, a lot of the features that we talked about and had surfaced to us in the chatter. And I basically sat down and started refining that functionality and refining those requests and refining some of the use cases that we were hoping to put into the app. And sure, spent a long time with my notebook sketching those things out, because we really didn't want this to be a straight port of the website. We'd learned a lot about how people were using it. You know, when we launched the game a little over a year ago, we didn't even have the chatter section, and that obviously is a huge component of the game now. So we saw it as an opportunity to kind of reset and think, okay, what does Fantasy Movie League look like, not just aesthetically, but also from a feature set standpoint? So that kind of took me down the path of, for mobile, this has to be a utility first and foremost to pick your Cineplex each week. But the chatter and the things that the platform enables us to do, like push notifications, just makes the chatter an absolute home run. So bringing those two things to the forefront, and then, yeah, really, really dialing those in and making sure that we were building those specifically for iOS rather than just taking the website and scaling it down. So really taking a very fundamental view of this.
Well, that's by far my favorite feature, is the push notifications. And yeah, I like how you can set it on like a board by board level, and then it'll automatically, any thread that you've replied to, you'll automatically get updates on. It's by far my favorite. It's been really useful for me. So thanks for putting that in.
Yeah, we're loving to see how that's being used, and it's really easy to try and be really granular with those controls up front, but we tried to be restrained, and it seems as though those few controls are actually giving pretty good flexibility. So we're excited to see how those are being used.
Well, as you know, and I know this very well, this is not a shy audience. They will tell you right. what they want. I can, you know, probably a third of the features that I have on the compare tool are things I didn't think of, but things that people on the forums would say, hey, can you add X, Y, and Z? And for me, it evolved over time, as all software does, but especially when you've got a community that's so passionate and has this communication mechanism through the chatter that they can be so open about what they'd like to see. I mean, for me, it's super rewarding to have somebody ask you for a feature, you implement it, and they come back and tell you, that's perfect, that's exactly what I wanted. It's really fulfilling.
It's such a unique experience in my career to be developing a product for an audience that's so established, so, you know, unwaveringly positive and so knowledgeable about both the product and what's capable and what's not and what would make sense. As you know, we had a beta group set up with a small number of users from the community, and the feedback we were getting initially through email and then in a private chatter was just incredibly high quality, better than I've had from some professionals in the industry. So it was just so wonderful to work alongside the community and to fold them into the process and ultimately have them receive the app so warmly. So yeah, a really nice thread that's run throughout since we started this in February.
Well, if you don't develop software for a living like you and I do, you might not be familiar with this concept of iterative development. And really what that means is exactly what we're talking about here, where you make some version of a product, you probably know it's not perfect, but you put it out there, you get feedback, you refine the things you get the feedback on, and then you do another iteration. And the more frequently you can do the iterations, the more feedback you get and the higher quality the product ends up being. How many iterations would you say since you started, since you had kind of a minimum viable product, how many iterations would you estimate that you went through before you were ready for release?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think something that's pretty unique about this project is I worked incredibly closely with our designer, who also works in Leucadia, a guy called Tavish Calico. And he has a design studio down here. And so we spent probably 4 days a week together going through my sketches and doing visual design. So we did, I'd say, tens, if not hundreds of iterations kind of at the design level before anyone even saw this.
Right.
And then internally, we did some validation with the team, making sure that things kind of, you know, kicking the tires a little. And then once we opened it to the beta group, which was probably about a month ago, I'd say we've refined things with each update. So I was trying to roll out a build each week so it wasn't too noisy. And each week we would get new feedback that we would then fold into the process. So a lot of the stuff about the chatter. So for example, when we launched originally, the comments were just listed from oldest to newest. And there were people in leagues with topic threads that were in the hundreds. And so sure. They would have to scroll through hundreds of pages just to go see the latest. So that was something that we hadn't covered yet. So we fixed that. So now we lead with the newest comments and allow you to page back through, which is less of a common use case. So yeah, that was every time we would submit a build, which for me was normally late at night, I'd immediately get emails back from the testers, and I'd be itching to start folding that feedback back in. So yeah, it's been a really fun few months. Lots of change, but I think we were able to launch something that was well received because we spent that first month really nailing the design of it and really getting the structure of it, so that then the iteration was more of the details, more of what data should we display, than, you know, this whole thing would be totally better if it was done radically differently.
Now, one of the things that you did with the mobile app that is now carried over onto the main site is the new color scheme, including the very cool kind of sunbursty kind of carpet design that appears on the background of some of these things. Talk about the evolution of that, and at what point was it decided, this is so cool on the mobile app, we have to carry this over to the main site?
So I went into this with no expectations of what the aesthetic was going to be, and I really kind of presented a blank canvas to Tav, our designer, and he kind of, to my surprise, didn't want to throw everything out and start again. He actually saw real potential in what was established in the aesthetic, the colors and the look. And instead, he wanted to approach it more as an evolution of that color scheme and that iconography. So his inspiration running through this whole process was kind of vintage Hollywood glamour.
Sure.
And so that's kind of echoed in the refinement of the colors to bring out a little more of that gold and to kind of bring in the richness of, you can kind of imagine velvet curtains and that pattern is literally pulled from a Google image search for theater carpets. And even the icons that were designed by the same guy who did Airbnb's icons in the tab bar at the bottom of the app, those were also inspired by that whole era. And I was reluctant at first to make the app icon a movie reel because, you know, there's a lot of assumptions there that you know what a movie reel is and you know, it's kind of like using a floppy disk for the save icon. But it was just so well executed. I think it kind of is elevated above the oldness of that technology. So that was the whole inspiration behind the aesthetic and Tav as an expert in doing that kind of branding. And so once we had it for the app, we realized we really want to roll this out across the brand. You know, we know that we're going to get users who only ever use the iPhone app, but for those who use it across platforms, we want that consistency, and the same with social media. And so it was just kind of a lightweight rollout initially on the website. And then we hope to bring the website up to feature parity with some of the stuff that we've introduced in the native app that isn't quite there yet in the website.
I should also say that if you're under the age of 25, go Google floppy disk right now and you'll understand what Ben is talking about. I, of course, am intimately familiar with that technology. I love the new look and feel. It reminds me a lot of the Pantages Theater, where for many years I had season tickets to Broadway shows that are there, but it was originally opened in the 20s as a movie house that seats 3,000 people. For certainly for someone my age to think about going to a movie with 3,000 other people, like that was something you did in the 20s. And yeah. It has very much this, you know, opulence to it, this very intricate design in the ceilings, and everything's gold covered, and you've definitely captured the feel of that old Hollywood feel with some of the new details that you guys have in the new UI. I know some people don't like some of the stuff with some of the lighter backgrounds and some of the font sizes, and some people have complained about that, but knowing how difficult it is, having done it myself, I think you guys did a great job with it. So congrats on finishing it.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been fun to be part of that process. You know, normally I'm on the engineering side exclusively, so I was kind of going earlier in the process than I normally would, and it was pretty humbling to see a real visual designer skill set applied at that level,
right,
to see that process firsthand. And I think back to the iterative approach, I think the application of that style to the website, you know, which we launched on Friday, immediately prompted reaction. And that was the point where we were able to actually do the faster cycles of iteration.
Sure.
to address some of those initial pain points, because there's a lot of ways that you can interpret a brand and a style guide. And so we're just kind of refining that as we get completely legitimate feedback. And it's just a case of finding the time to roll all of that back in.
Sure. Now, what's coming next? So you mentioned some feature parity with some of the things that we've seen in the mobile app coming to the website. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Android support. I mean, there's all kinds of things you guys could be spending your time on. But what's next on your punch list? What can we see in the next, you know, during the summer season, do you think?
Right, it's an exercise in measured restraint at the moment, because you know, especially with such a rabid community, you just want to make everybody happy, and that's not always necessarily the best thing from the product standpoint. So, for the website, I think there's a lot of stuff we did for iOS, such as the profile view that people found really useful, and I think the opposite is true of being able to scan through standings in a league or overall in the iOS app and seeing what picks people have actually made for the week without having to go into each of their profiles.
Right.
I think that's something that's missing right now. Android's coming hopefully this week. That's not going to be such a deep build. That's more of a wrapper around the mobile site with some little native features. So that's coming this week, hopefully. And then other features for the summer season, there's some interesting stuff that's happening around groups and, leagues. I have the hardest time separating those two with leagues and just getting some better management. I know in the chat this morning, there's already been talk of commissioner tools, and it's incredible to see the variety of games that the community is playing within the confines of what is a pretty simple game structure. So I think making some of that easier for those different game types would be good. And ultimately, my vision with all of this is to let the computers do, or let the code do what the code is good at, which is organizing numbers and things like that, and make sure that the computers are focused on doing that stuff to let the community thrive. So I know there's a lot of Excel spreadsheets and manual work that could be folded into the app experience, and I think that's something we'll look to going forward.
Coolness. Well, thanks so much for spending the time. It's been super informative. Congrats on the rollout of the mobile app. I think it's been a huge success. I can hear the satisfaction in your voice with, like you said, how rabid this community is and the great feedback they give you. I'm sure we'll have you on again, and you're pretty visible in the forums interacting with people. So thanks for spending the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks,
right.
Pete.
Bye now. So Patrick, what's your favorite thing about the iPhone app?
Oh dear God, my favorite, like, I can't even think. I like being able to just, like, it doesn't matter where you're at. I don't need my laptop in front of me. Like, if I get, like, some piece of information, like, on a Twitter feed or anything social media-wise, it's just, like, you know, the accessibility, and you can do it anywhere. And I think based on that interview, we're in very good hands. I think it's only going to get better. As you can see, they're already working the kinks out, and then, like, you know, every day. And, like the FML quality assurance has been from day one, they do take user feedback seriously, and they incorporate it into the product, and I think it's only going to get better, so we're in good hands.
Now, have you ever heard the phrase iterative software development before then?
I have not. That's clearly not my, like, you know, occupation in that world, but I'm sure you are very familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. Day-to-day kind of thing. In my case, the compare tool is better because of it. People leave great feedback. You go back and fix what they give you feedback on, and everybody's happier. So yeah, they did a great job on the iPhone app. I love it.
That's true of any product. So, like, you know, it's coming along pretty nicely,
now,
especially for only being up a week.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, it's going to get better over time. Now, we still have our sponsor here for the summer season. So if you haven't gone out there before, if you go to www.lootcrate.com/FML, and if you go sign up for that, with your code FML, you get a couple bucks off of a subscription. And what this is you get a box every week, or every month, I should say.
It's a mystery box in the mail.
I know. It's a monthly subscription box. And it's always got a t-shirt in it, and it's usually got pins or other kind of apparel and collectibles. They always have a unique, one-of-a-kind item in it, usually 6 to 8 items of licensed gear. And, you know, this past month for May, if you happen to sign up before May 19th, you were guaranteed to get like a Marvel item or a Warcraft item. So always lots of cool things. If you haven't done so, go ahead and go to www.lootcrate.com/FML. If you enter that code, you get a couple bucks off. Get some cool stuff.
That's cool. And every month, that's like one of the things you actually look forward to in your mailbox, where it's usually like filled with bills and junk mail. Loot Crate's something you'd actually want to see in your mailbox. It's very cool.
For the t-shirt alone, it's worth the price, I think.
And they're pretty nice t-shirts, too. And again, there's nothing better, like I've said it before, like when you and your buddy are each opening a crate and you get the better items there, and then you become the belle of the ball, everybody's jealous of what you have, it's a good feeling.
You got to find a way to one-up somebody, is what you're saying.
I've seen it multiple times in the office.
All right. Well, before we talk about week one, and before we talk about some of the cool prizes that we have here for the summer season, because there's some cool new prizes there as well, have our second interview. So I like to take a mulligan here once once a season where we just have like a couple minutes of serious. Like we, you know, we joke around and talk about movies on this podcast all the time. But we talked a little bit in the award season about the lack of diversity in the Oscars. And we talked a little bit about like the violence in Deadpool during the recently concluded spring season. So I'm using my serious mulligan here for a few minutes early in the summer season, but I promise not to go there again. But the thing that sparked this for me was we had some heated chatter discussion 2 weeks ago that M37 came on the program last week to sort of explain, and things got taken out of context and didn't mean things as harshly as they maybe looked in the text, in the spoken text. So our next interview subject was at the center of what was probably the most heated exchange we had on the chatter for a while, and wanted to give this person some space from that. It's been a couple of months since that's happened, and not only talk about the game and what attracted this person to it, but also what was that like to be at the center of that and feel like you had people attacking you? And is the chatter a better place? So let's listen to the interview I did earlier this week with Not Ready for FML. Okay, this week I'd also like to welcome to the program Not Ready for FML. So thanks so much for joining me on the program this week.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, I thought of you for two reasons recently, and I related to you over email a couple of times. I like to think of it as lovingly. You've corrected my grammar on a couple of things, and I saw a teenage girl wearing a shirt that said, "I'm correcting your grammar in my head." So that made me think of you and laugh.
Yes, well, I have to say that I do get bothered a little bit by all of the bad grammar, but I understand it's just, you know, people are just writing what they want to feel, and it's okay. But there are a few things that stick in my head that really bug me.
Well, I'm with you there. We're kind of slowly destroying the language, so I appreciate your efforts to try to preserve it whenever you might do that. But the other reason I wanted to bring you on is the things got heated in the forums a couple of weeks ago between M37 and The Sandlot. And one of the things you and I have in common is that we've been at the center before of some controversial chatter conversations. So M37 came on the program last week and sort of explained himself, and I think it's water under the bridge over those two, between those two. But this happens every once in a while, and it's happened to both of us. So I wanted to bring you on to get your take for, I guess, first, why do you think this happens in general? Why do you think things get heated in the forums the way that they do sometimes?
Well, I think partly because it's anonymous to a degree, and so we might be a little bit more forthcoming with some of the things we might be more careful about if we were having a conversation in person. But I also think that people have finally realized there's an opportunity in the chatter to really get strong in what they're saying in a way that they can't do other places. So I think it's reasonable for it to happen. I do think, you know, pretty much FML is a gentle chatter, though my first experience, as you may remember, was pretty terrible.
I do remember, yes.
It was awful. I was shocked. I made a joke, honestly. And as you know, from what you spoke with M37, sometimes the tone of a joke can come across differently in a text or in a chatter than it can in person. And so I sort of meant it, but I was kind of joking, and it got taken very seriously.
Right.
And then I felt like I got a little bit flamed after that.
You did, but I think you ultimately recovered. And I think you've hit upon an important thing here. It's first, the anonymity sometimes gives people some ammunition, like you said, to say things that you maybe wouldn't say over a phone conversation or certainly in person. But sometimes, like, you and I can hear the tone in our voices. You can hear if I'm being sarcastic, or if we're in the same room, you could see my facial expression or my body language. But with text conversation, especially in chatter, where you tend to, you're communicating with people you maybe don't know as well as, say, your immediate family or friends, sometimes the words can come across in unintended ways. I know I've certainly experienced that in the chatter, and as you said, you did as well.
Yeah, and I also think specifically in my case, when you're bringing up something that is extremely sensitive, I think culturally right now, because as I've been accused of being the one who's sort of like looking out for egalitarian issues or, you know, politically correct issues and so forth. And I think we're in a position culturally right now where those things have become front and central. And I think people are reacting in various ways. I'm certainly reacting. And so I can imagine others are as well. And one of the ways I'm reacting is I think we should stop the sort of negative pushback on people just being decent to each other and reasonable and not saying sexist things or misogynist things or racist things or ableist things, not feel so free online to do that because we're anonymous, but maybe sort of check ourselves or challenge ourselves in that way. I also think, you know, it's natural to feel defensive if somebody calls you out. So, you know, I forgave and I think I was forgiven.
Oh, I think, yeah, that definitely came across the way that conversation ended. I mean, much less serious topic, I would argue, but most recently the one that I faced was with comments that I made about not wanting Deadpool to succeed because I was afraid of, you know, comic book characters typically targeted at kids, although that one isn't as directly targeted as others, and it being a rated R film and the level of violence and sex that was going to be in it. And I don't know if you remember this, I got accused of promoting censorship, and I wasn't, you know, advocating in my case that it should be pulled from theaters, just that I was hopeful that it wouldn't do well, so it wouldn't encourage more of the same. And of course, then America spoke, and it did hugely well, as I believe the highest grossing rated R film ever. So we're going to get more of that despite my pleadings to the otherwise. But your topic was far more serious, I would argue, and certainly some validity there. We see this in not just in our chatter, but you see it on Twitter. You see, you know, in particular, this seems to happen, this attitude of saying things you wouldn't say to a person in person. This seems to happen to women a lot more than it happens to men.
Yeah. Well, I think just for clarity's sake, and I think I've kind of been clear about this on chatter, I'm a transgender person. So what that means is my gender, in my case, is not set as female or male.
Sure.
However, being perceived biologically as female most of my life, I'm very conscious of what happens to people who behave outside of gender norms, and they begin to get attacked. And so, unfortunately, when we're doing something like having potentially the first woman president, that is outside of our gender norms at this time in history. And so it's bringing up a lot of emotions, whether people are admitting that's what's going on or not. I think it's very clear that it is. And so you see a lot of, you know, backlash all over the place, and both sides can get very distressed about it. But I also think it's not a neutral subject. And if I thought it were, I'd back off more quickly, but I don't think it's neutral.
No.
I think, you know, we can't say, you know, oppression is ever okay. So I'm kind of tough like that, and I'll say it out loud because somebody's got to do it.
Well, I think that you, and I would like to think that the community responded well to that interaction. And I think I've seen an improvement in the way that we treat each other. I hope that you would agree with me in that case. And, you know, I think you speaking up helped influence that. So I applaud that.
I actually do think it's improved. And part of it, obviously, I've gotten to know, however you can get to know people in this environment, but I have. And so I understand better when someone's making a joke where they're coming from, or when they're making a comment where they're coming from. But I do still see it. And one of the things someone said in that conversation that I just wanted to highlight is it's not really possible to point it out every time.
Sure.
If anyone did that, it would be just horrible for everybody, right? But I think sometimes bringing it up, not all the time, but generally here and there as a theme, that we can look at it and we can think about it as a community. And I think that's okay because movies are about that.
They are.
I studied film history in college, and I studied, you know, Russian theater and Russian movies. And that was extremely political, and as are many, you know, much of film history. So I think it's something that we can, as a movie-oriented community, we can be interested in that.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you, moving forward, you have my permission to correct my grammar as much as you would like, and I'll even give you, you can poke fun at my baldness as much as you like. That goes not just for you, that's for everybody. I'm totally cool with that.
So Kojak is okay.
Oh, that's totally, yeah. If you're sending me lollipops, I'm on board.
Okay.
Well, let's close here. Let's keep things, let's get back to less serious issues here for a moment and get you out of here with a couple of my standard questions. So what's your fantasy movie league genesis story? How did you find out about and start playing the league?
Well, getting sick and watching and not knowing what to watch on daytime television, I was flipping through the channels and I saw them talking about it on The View, and it intrigued me. As I said, I majored in film history as an English major in college. And so I hadn't seen popular movies in several years, really, because I've been living abroad in the People's Republic of China, Georgia, the country, India, places like that, where it wasn't that easy to see movies. And that's why I said not ready. So I was interested in it because it was interesting to me, but I didn't feel like I had had the last 10 or 15 years worth of movies.
So you felt a cultural gap there.
Yes, I was timid about it, but then everybody started saying not ready a little bit kind of mean in that little first interaction. So I decided that I would just, you know, grab it, go with it, and embrace it and be not ready forever.
See, now I assumed that was the next thing I was going to ask you. I assumed that your screen name was an SNL reference to the original cast. So it was a little bit tongue in cheek both ways, is what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't expect you to out yourself as a viewbee as well, but that got us a ton of new players, and I'm so grateful for that contest. Much more vibrant community, a lot more people playing since we ran that contest. So let me get you out of here with this. So you've been playing for a while now, obviously got through a couple full seasons under your belt now. What advice would you give for new players? We're starting the new summer season now. There's some people who are coming to this for the first time. What are the, you know, one or two things that a new player should know as they're getting started with Fantasy Movie League?
Well, two things. I thought about this before we talked because I know how it was for me. One, I mistrusted my gut several times and as a result changed my lineup at the last minute, basically.
And isn't that the worst?
Screwed myself out of several PCs.
Oh, I hate that. That's the worst.
I do, too. It drives me nuts. I mean, I fought for Money Monster all week and then changed it the last second. I was so mad at myself. And anyway, the second thing is Thursday numbers. You got to watch those numbers. Be careful because they will help you. Like with if I had listened to them for Spanky Hank. Or they will hurt you if you think they mean something they don't mean and then you get screwed later. So you just have to, those Thursday numbers, I mean Friday morning numbers for Thursday night, you just take them very carefully. So trust your gut and don't be too swayed by those Friday morning numbers.
Those are two excellent pieces of advice, and you're not even on your own on those Thursday night numbers that get published on Friday morning. That gets plenty of conversation in the chatter. I know that saved me this last week with the neighbors, backed away from that. So, yeah, newbies, if you're out there listening, that's really good advice. Listen to your gut and to take a look at those Friday morning posts on the Thursday night numbers. Not Ready for FML, thank you so much for joining, and thank you so much for all you bring to the community. I love having you around, and I look forward to more grammar corrections as I move forward.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
So Patrick, I know people don't always like it when we turn sensitive for a few, you know, serious for a few minutes, but I think overall that exchange, I think really improved the quality of the exchanges that we have on the chatter. I think people treat each other a lot more nicely after that. And it's always been a pretty productive chatter where people are nice to each other. But I think, you know, as negative as that incident was at the time, I think it's paid positive dividends, and it's a much better place as a result.
100% agree. And there's no need to take a mulligan on that, like you were saying before the interview, because God knows we talk about enough nonsense. So we'll have a serious moment here and there, but we'll talk about movies for the most part, we promise. But here and there, we'll just like delve into it a little more serious from time to time.
Well, let's roll on here and talk about the new season and the prizes and the movies we have at our disposal here at week one. So did you see what the prize is for the overall winner?
The prize is pretty amazing. Like, obviously I can't win, but it wouldn't mean like, you know, that much since Universal isn't too far from me. But my God, if you live like somewhere cold or somewhere like in the middle of nowhere, that's an amazing prize anyways, any way you look at it. But for somebody who's like in a different part of the country, it's even more special.
So if you haven't seen this for yourself, go to the rules link that's on the website. And what you'll find is the overall high score here for the summer season is going to get a trip for two to Universal Studios Hollywood. And then there's been all kinds of increases in the Fandango gift cards that are given away both on a weekly basis and on some of the leagues that are going to start for people that join a little bit later. So if you know somebody that's been waiting to join, maybe this is a little carrot for them to, you know, they can get some nice Fandango prizes if they come through.
Lots more cards this year compared to previous seasons. So, like, you know, as we continue to grow, the prizes get better and better.
Now, this came up in the second interview here on the program. One of my favorite things that we've done in terms of promotions was the View contest that we did during the award season. Now, I can't give any details right now, but there are some special competitions coming this season, and they're going to have some cool prizes as well. We can reveal more when we get a little bit closer to that. But we do have some special leagues that are starting to form as well. So there's the Mulligan League, so that if you can throw out one bad week. There's the No Bonus League that you can play in that won't use the bonuses and instead will just use the raw scores. So there's all kinds of different ways to play, both officially, and then we talked a little bit last week about the World Cup that's going to start here as well. I volunteered to write some code for that to make the scoring a little bit easier. That's going to be a lot of fun too. So much going on in the game right now. It's a really fun time.
There's a lot of great stuff going on. I'm like, God, I wish I had. Where was that Mulligan League, you know, like a couple seasons ago? I really could have used it. So that's going to be, can't wait for that one.
So what are you thinking for the two new movies this week?
I've been doing a lot of back and forth. And right now, I'm sticking with my Coma lineup for like different reasons. Like, should we talk about first? Like, do you want to go to the Mutants or do you want to like go down the rabbit hole?
Let's go down the rabbit hole first.
Again, the first Alice in Wonderland, huge, huge hit, much better than anybody expected, like $116 million opening, $1 billion worldwide. And I was doing some research for my article earlier, and I think of the 20, there's only 25 films that have made $1 billion worldwide. I think it's the most unlikely of the 25 in there. So obviously a sequel is inevitable, but I do not have a good feeling about Alice Through the Looking Glass at all.
Well, here's the thing. Of those movies that have made $1 billion worldwide, Disney might have three of them in theaters right now, and they aren't this movie.
It's good to be at Disney right now.
But
this is the first time, like, they've done a masterful job of, like, kind of turning their animated classics into kind of live-action epics. This is the first time they've done a sequel for one of those, and it's been 6 years, which is quite a bit of time between movies, and I don't think interest has like increased in that time. I think it's gone the opposite way. So I like compared to the numbers the first one put up, I think it's going to make a fraction of those.
So if you combine the pro forecasts for this, and that was a little bit tricky this week for some of them because Showbiz Daily only for the two new movies they gave 4-day estimates, so Friday through Monday, but for the returners they only gave Friday through Sunday. So if you look at the compare tool, if you go to compare.fmlner.com, I had to do some math gymnastics to make some of that work out. So but if you average Pro Box Office and Showbiz Daily, it comes in right around 61 million. And if that ends up being the case, even though the Pro Box Office long range forecast is more like 68 million and it hasn't been getting good buzz in terms of the reviews, it's probably not a best performer candidate. There are some situations where you might play one screen of it as like an anchor when you're thinking best performer somewhere else, but it probably doesn't have a shot at best performer.
I don't know. I see it kind of in like the mid-50s. I wouldn't be shocked if it went lower. I wouldn't be stunned if it went higher, because just like the Disney marketing machine, and right. It is a pre-sold title. But I just don't get any sense that people are actually excited about this. I think it's going to come in way below expectations.
I think the only way it makes sense to play this in your Cineplex is if you think The Nice Guys is going to get Best Performer. And we'll talk about that one here in a minute. But because The Nice Guys is priced so low, you need some higher priced anchor to sort of counteract that. So if you're a big believer in The Nice Guys this week and it not falling much, because it's kind of in a unique category with this week compared to what it has been in the past.
I wouldn't say I'm a big believer in it, but I turned to my article in a little while ago. That was my bonus pick, because I think if you look at all the movies out there, you've got mutants, you've got superheroes, you've got sororities, you've got flying birds. Like, that's about the only movie for grown-ups out there who typically don't rush out to see a movie on opening weekend. And so I think the slide is going to be pretty reasonable. And so I think people might discover it this weekend, and it is really reasonably priced. So I do like it.
So let me go there. So in my simulations that I ran on top of the pro forecasts, about 16% of those simulations, Nice Guys got Best Performer, in which case it would make sense to play 6 screens of Nice Guys, balance that with 1 screen of Alice. And the best combination that I found with my math was 1 screen of Civil War as well. So if you really believe in Nice Guys, then you might consider playing Alice. But Alice on its own right as Best Performer, probably not the way to go.
Well, like I said, I believe in Nice Guys, but do I really believe in it? That's a bit of a stretch. Like, because if it doesn't get that bonus, then you.
Now, what about X-Men? Have we reached peak comic book? I mean, this keeps coming up when we have poorly reviewed comic book movies. Has the public had enough of this?
I see prognostications all over the place. Some people have it like, you know, well above 100. I just saw some tweet from, like, I think it was Movie Tickets or Fandango, that advanced sales are almost double what they were for Days of Futures Past Day of Future Past. I get corrected by the comic book guys all the time on that one. So twice as much as that, and then quadruple what First Class did in 2011, which makes me believe, like, does this have a shot at clearing 100? But I think, like, creatively, like, Days of Future Past kind of was the peak, and this is Apocalypse. The reviews, the buzz, have not been as good as the previous iterations, so I think it's going to be a little bit less. I still think it's going to be a huge movie, but I don't see it as big as the previous installment.
Well, the pros averaged that one out at somewhere between 83 and 84 million. And if that's the case, it's not going to be a best performer candidate. To think it's going to get up there and make a difference, it's got to get closer to that 100 million that you're talking about.
Yeah, I have it just like the beginning of the week when I was doing research, like 88 was the number that I ended up with in that range. So it's even if it made it there, it's not worth the play, like, because it's so expensive. I believe we're at $735 this week.
Well, and to me, like, they almost double the number of characters that are in this. It almost has that Brady Bunch Cousin Oliver feel to it to me.
It's when you've got so many characters, like, everybody has to have their moment, so you end up with a 2.5-hour movie that just ends up being a lot of CGI porn, and it gets overstuffed, and I just don't think it's going to... It doesn't look as good as Days of Future Past to me, and I just think it's going to come in a little bit lower than that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they've obviously added lots of characters to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well, but it seemed a lot more gradual. This time, it seems very sudden. So what about those returners?
Options might be up on some of those actors, so they got to bring in some new blood. Jennifer Lawrence is going to be very expensive after this one.
Now, if you look at the pros again, Civil War is looking pretty good as best performer candidate, along with, you know, we talked about potentially Nice Guys being in there. We also, even though it didn't have a formal pro forecast to it, but if you do some math and figure out what sort of the bonus bar is for it, you might even think Zootopia's got a chance there. What are you thinking for some of the returners?
Like, when I set my lineup on Monday, which is still the lineup that I have, like, I try and can talk me out of 6 screens of Captain America. I think it's got a best performer contention, and even though I think X-Men is the exact same audience, so it is going to take a hit, I still think it'll hold on okay, which I think is just such good value this week. again, I'd rather go with, like, you know, the known quantity than the unknown. So I'm sticking with Captain America. And my two other screens, I'm between Jungle Book and Nice Guys, obviously. And then for that last one, I have Zootopia as a screen. So, and I am not a paid employee of Disney. I just want to make that very clear. Because right now I have an all Disney lineup.
Well, that's consistent with what my simulations come up with. 60% of the time in my simulations, some variation of six screens of Captain America won. And like you said, so the top one was bottom end fillers of Jungle Book and Zootopia, and then the other one was Nice Guys and Zootopia. I'm going to play the second of those. It just feels, it somehow feels wrong to play all Disney movies in a week that there's a new Disney movie, and that's not one of the one that you're playing. I don't know, that just feels weird.
Like, if I make a change, it'll be to swap those two out, but right now, unless, like, X-Men comes in, or Alice comes in so huge on the Thursday night numbers, which it would have to be a huge number to make me switch, but I think six Captain Americas are the way to go.
Well, and I even think the Thursday numbers, I think, have a tendency to show you when something bad's about to happen. It's not as clear as an indicator that something good's about to happen. So even that, I don't even know what that number would be to make me change my mind on those two.
It would have to be jaw-dropping, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, well, that's going to be it for the week here. Everybody enjoy your long weekend, because that's going to be it here for week one of the Fantasy Movie League summer season. As always, you can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru. And Patrick, how about yourself?
You can always find me on Twitter at the Box Office Guy. And one last thing I wanted to put up. We now at Fantasy Movie League, we've started a weekly bracket. This week, it's the films of Tim Burton. So there's 16 movies just going at each other. And let's see. You know, you've got about, by the time this goes live, the first round may be over, but you can vote round by round, and there's a lot of heated matchups right now. Like, Mars Attacks is beating Alice in Wonderland, so that would advance. And if it gets there, it's probably going to play Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which is very exciting.
Yeah, my head spins at that sentence that you just said, but yeah, that's...
It's going to be something.
I like brackets.
It's going to get heated.
I do like brackets. Just out of all the things you were going to say during this podcast, that was not one of the things I thought you'd say, but...
Well, there you go.
Well, you can still go get your own. You can get your gear at fantasymovieleagueshop.com. You can find the league itself on Twitter at @FML_movies. And as always on Facebook under Fantasy Movie League. Good luck, everybody. Have a nice long weekend.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com.